Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cutting Chai Stories. I'm your host, Jayati Vora, and today's episode is part two of my interview with my journalism mentor, the writer of books for adults and children, and hilarious storyteller, Jerry Pinto. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, make sure to catch that too for the first part of our conversation. Let's dive in. What are some of the writing techniques that you can break down for our listeners when you're writing for kids, young adults, or when you're writing about things like childhood teddy bears? Do you find that it's different than writing for adults? Because you've written for adults too.
No, not in the actuality of it. After I wrote A Bear for Felicia, then people started asking me to write stories for children. Okay, and one of the first stories I wrote came up against the wall of grammar. If you're writing about schoolboys, say, playing in the school compound, romping about on the playground, boys talk in the way boys talk. And for me, it is very important to get the sound of the person right. Okay. So I can't have a boy, if one boy says to another something like, that scorpion is a nasty thing. No boy talks like that. He'll probably say something like, that scorpion's like, man, seriously awful. And the other one will say, means. Now, when you write means, everyone in Bombay knows that means, what do you mean, right? But the grammar Nazi on the editing table wants that boy to say, what do you mean? Now, no boy talks like that, right? So in order to get the child's tone right, you sometimes have to sacrifice grammar. Now, if you sacrifice grammar, you become a bad writer, because one of the things about children's writing is that all their parents want children to read books in order that their language skills improve, in order that they become more successful in the world, in order that. There's a whole set of agendas in every parent's head with reference to writing. Not one of these agendas is in order that the child should have some fun and recognize in the story a person like himself, and feel that this is relatable, this is fun, this is exactly the way I would be talking. Yeah, that's the problem, really. I really wish parents would loosen up, you know. The reason why Tickle Me, Don't Tickle Me, when I read it to children love it, is because it's talking about vomiting, right? Vomiting is a bodily function. It's dirty, it's disgusting. And kids love bodily functions that are dirty and disgusting. With my publisher, Duckbill, Duckbill at that time had two great editors, Shayuni Boshu and Anushka Ravishankar. So we all wrote a fart story. Each one of us wrote a fart story, and we called it Fits Puss Boom. Okay, it's a book of three fart stories. Huh? And whenever children see that book, they want it immediately. Whenever parents see the children wanting that book, they say, now what are you taking? Why are you taking this book? Now don't put that down. Take this one. General knowledge for you. Or take this one. Great tales from the Indian classics. Or take this one. The Jatak or the Panchatantra. Because there's so many agendas inside their heads about why they want their children to read. And children can smell agendas a mile off. This is supposed to be good for me. I'm not going to do it. Give me your phone instead.
At the moment, I am in the middle of reading The BFG by Roald Dahl to my son, who's 6.5.
Ooh, lovely.
And he loves it. And I do voices. And so The BFG is like this combination of some like East German and Guju auntie from Ahmedabad. And he loves it. And the words in them, right? Because the whole point is that The BFG doesn't speak correct English. Yeah. And so, you know, there's Frobscottle, which I say like Frobscottle.
The names of those nasty brothers, the child chomper and all. Oh,
flesh lump eater. And
that fills your mouth. Like flesh lump eater fills your mouth. Roald Dahl is like the ultimate. You know, I just wish he'd written 100 more books for children.
Yeah, I know. It's so fun to say, right? And it's so like it gives you that license. Is it more fun to write a book for kids?
No. Much, much more dangerous, first of all, because children are just savage, just complete savages. Okay? Adults will never come up to you and say, I've had this experience at Bookaroo. A young lady came up to me and said, did you write this book, holding up Talk of the Town, which is a book about cities, which I wrote with Rahul Srivastava. So I said, yes, I did. So she said, very boring. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, yeah. And I got it twice for my birthday. Twice I got this boring book. So I said, you know, maybe you could give it to someone you don't like for their birthday. And her face brightened up. I could already see she knew who she was going to give that book to. Okay. Then there was another time when I was at Bukaru again, and a young lady again came up to me and said, she was holding a Bear for Felicia, and she said, do you have this in pink? Okay. So, and, you know, if they're bored, they turn off immediately and they're not going to pay attention. You can have won an award for the book. You can be like, have been reviewed magnificently, but they, if they're bored, they're bored.
Can you talk a little about the messages coded into children's stories?
I have always had a very, very bad feeling about this story, The Fox and the Crane, which is a story, you know, in which a fox and a crane are friends, and the fox calls the crane over for dinner. And when the crane goes over for dinner, the fox has put out food, but in flat plates, and the crane, having a long beak, can't eat. So the crane goes home and calls the fox over for dinner the next day, and the fox goes over, and the crane has served food in tall jars, and the fox can't eat. And really, the moral of this story is, don't go and eat with people who are not like you. I really think that's not a nice story to be telling our children. I wanted to write a version, another version of it, where the fox does this and the crane does this. But on the third day, the fox and the crane go to the market, and they meet in the market, and the fox is buying a tall jar for the crane to eat, and the crane is buying a flat plate for the fox to eat. And that's how they are going to repair the what damage they did to their friendship in those moments. Because that's what the story of friendship is about. It's about managing difference.
So what can writers who are writing for grown-ups learn from children's writers?
The first thing you can learn is simplicity. And the second, I think, is plotting. Because in children's writing, your vocabulary is suddenly extremely limited. Because very often, if you're writing in for a particular age group, you're writing to a word list. You know, you're writing out of a word list. There are certain words which the child will know and certain words which the child won't know. Now, according to me, I don't think those word lists are very useful things. I think, you know, when I was reading as a child, if there was a book word I didn't know, I guessed most of the time. And if I had an adult who would tell me, I would ask the adult. And in the last instance, I would go and look it up in a dictionary because I was a lazy child. But you can always do any of these three things. You can either guess, or you can ask an adult, or you can check in the dictionary. So I don't think that these word lists should be so hard and fast as a rule. If you are writing sincerely for children, you cannot ignore emotional complexity, the dramatic, the metaphoric. All the resources of language must be deployed. But they must be deployed as simply as possible. And I think that if we all wrote as if we were writing for children all the time, we'd probably have much more good literature than we do have right now. Because there is often a tendency to write fancy and to write florid because you think, hey, they should find out or they should know. And of course they should find out. Of course they should know. Of course vocabularies should be bigger than they are. But not at the cost of simplicity and the beauty that comes with simplicity. And I think the second thing, of course, is plotting. Because a kid really wants to know what happened next. And yes, there are, you know, when we were reading Enid Blyton as children, her descriptions of food were so magical and fascinating. But they were embedded in a very clear plot line. And you enjoyed the descriptions of scones and boiled eggs and hard-boiled eggs and chocolate biscuits and whatnot, but only because you wanted to know what was happening in the story. So I think plotting and simplicity.
As you know, I always end my episodes by providing a writing prompt for my listeners. Do you have a prompt that you could share?
I'm suggesting you go back to your to a birthday that really was important to you before the age of 15. And write a diary entry for that day.
That's awesome. I know exactly which birthday I would choose, and there was an unfortunate yellow frock involved.
Yeah, there always is something, no? Like that. It's, birthdays have always this potential for disaster that you, you know, you think you're going to get X and you get Y.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jerry, for your time. I know I learned a lot, and I'm sure my listeners did too. Till we meet again next Thursday, read a children's book.